Again, also, it's not technically mine. And I have yet to think of a lie to explain to its owners why I sold it. So, that raises the price again. And finally, I threw in a few dozen extra credits as a fee for my excellent storytelling skills. Basine rolled her eyes. Fine, she said. It isn't my money anyway. She pulled out a small device and pressed her thumb to a sensor. It beeped softly as figures flashed on a screen. Done, she said. You'll find the credits in your account. Hondo's eyes lit up. I am almost sorry you didn't barter, he said. Almost. Then he rose and bowed to her. A pleasure doing business with you, he said. Turning away, Hondo laid a hand on the wall of the Falcon. Goodbye, old girl, he said. It has been an experience and then some. Oh, he added, and he rested an unwelcome hand on Basine's shoulder. And goodbye to you, my scary mercenary friend. Then he walked out of the cockpit and off the ship, leaving the Falcon in Basine's black-fingered hands. She waited for him to leave. Then she slid into the pilot's chair. Taking out the same device she had used earlier, she thumbed a different button. I've got it, she said into a transceiver. After a moment, someone replied. The voice was deliberately distorted to protect its owner's identity.
Good,
the voice said.
Transmitting rendezvous coordinates now.
Basine checked the coordinates and lifted off. The old Corellian freighter was trickier to fly than she had anticipated, even after hearing Hondo's tales. But she was capable of adapting to tricky situations. And as it turned out, she didn't have far to go. The rendezvous coordinates took her to Bakesander 9, a lonely little moon in a quiet system. She hit the atmosphere and flew across a still ocean to a sleepy spaceport on a hill. She spotted an innocuous light shuttle outside the walls of the settlement and landed beside it. The contact who met her was a woman, middle-aged, fit. Basine could tell another fighter when she saw one. The woman looked like she'd been up against it more than a few times.
I was expecting, began Basine. Your expectations are not my concern, replied the woman. I will take delivery of the ship now and inform our employer of your success.
And my payment? Asked Basine. The woman scowled as if she was somehow sullying her organization's reputation by dealing with mercenaries and their money matters. But she held up a similar device to Basine's. The transfer of funds took only an instant. It was a fraction of what Basine had authorized to be paid to Hondo for the ship. But it was still a large amount for a job where she hadn't been required to kill anyone or place herself in too much physical jeopardy. Good. It was done. Basine looked at the shuttle. I suppose a lift would be too much to ask?
It would, said the woman. We are not a taxi service for mercenary scum.
Bakesander isn't exactly a bustling port, argued Basine.
That's obviously why we chose it for this delivery, said the woman. You have been well compensated for your efforts. You'll be able to hire a lift off-moon eventually. But you had better hurry. The settlement has a curfew in place. It will shut its gates for the night soon, and you wouldn't want to be alone out here when any of Bakesander's nocturnal fauna come out to play.
Basine stared at the woman. She didn't like her, but the job was done. There was no sense hanging around. The mercenary turned away. The Falcon wasn't her problem anymore, and hurried to the small outpost, hoping she could at least find decent lodging before everything shut down for the evening. The woman watched her go. Then, completely ignoring her own shuttle, she boarded the Falcon. Reaching the cockpit, she took off. Hondo was still waiting in the docking bay of his transport Enterprise when the Millennium Falcon landed again. He didn't act at all surprised to see the woman striding down the loading ramp. When she approached him, he flashed her a big smile. "Welcome to Black Spire Outpost," he said, his smile widening. "Majo Rilu."
"Hondo Onaka," said Majo. "It's good to see you in person."
"I am sure that it is," said the pirate. "But did you have any trouble?"
"It was tricky, but thanks to the device you planted on her shoulder, I was able to hack into her communicates and learn the location of their rendezvous."
"And the real contact who was supposed to meet Basine?"
"I hit her with what you called my zappity-zap," said Majo.
"Oh, ho, ho, ho,"
said Hondo. "I don't envy her at all.
I know how that feels."
Majo looked at him earnestly then. "It's no Novian ruby," she said. "But I hope you think this favor finally makes us even for the trick I played on you all those years ago." Hondo waved a hand dismissively.
"It was for a good cause," he said. "As was this, for old friends, some of them gone. And, well, I know this ship has a history helping out the good guys. I'm sure it has not reached the end of its days assisting the rebels."
"Resistance," corrected Majo.
"Rebels, resistance, they are all the same to me. Underdogs. Do you know I am a hero of the liberation of Lothal?"
"I do," said Majo. "You've told me many times."
"So I have, so I have. And what of you?" said Hondo. "Do you feel as though you have finally made up for your past mistakes?"
"I don't know," said Majo. "But I've spent my life trying. No reason to stop now."
"I'm glad," said Hondo. "The good guys need scoundrels too, if they're to make it."
Majo smiled to be called a scoundrel. Coming from Hondo, it was an honor. "But what happens if Basine figures out she was tricked?" she asked.
"She has no reason to come back here," said the pirate. "You tricked her, not me. I sold her the ship fair and square, and she cannot prove otherwise. What she did with the Falcon afterward is her concern. But if I were Basine Nital, I would not be quite so eager to tell my employers that I had the ship, but I gave it away. To the resistance, no less. And took a large price for it, too. No, I wouldn't want to be in her shoes then."
As he talked, Hondo led Majo from the docking bay back into the streets of Black Spire Outpost.
"But come," he said. "I am feeling generous. I will buy you a drink. In fact, I think I finally have enough to pay off my tab at Ogagera's Cantina."
"My goodness," said Majo. "That must be some tab." Inside the cantina, Hondo was approached by the small Yarkorin from the Savak game.
"You did well, my friend," said Hondo. "Thank you for contacting Majo Rilu while I stalled Basine Nital with my excellent storytelling abilities. Tell Og I want to buy you a drink. She can put it on my tab."
"I thought you said you were going to pay off your tab," said Majo, smiling.
"I said I could pay my tab," explained Hondo. "I didn't say I was going to, but grab yourself a drink too, both of you, and give me a moment. I need to speak to an old friend."
When his companion stepped away to the bar, Hondo pulled out a small transceiver. Said the person on the other end.
"The ship is safe, my friend, and we are even," Hondo told Chewbacca. Said the Wookiee. "Have no fear," replied Hondo. "I will bring her back to you when I am done with her. Or not." Said Chewbacca. But Hondo Onaka, pirate, scoundrel, smuggler, and storyteller, disconnected the call. "Now," he said, "with all that unpleasantness out of the way, I just need to find a good crew, and I am in business."
Hondo walked over to a bulletin board in the cantina. Tearing off someone else's flyer, he printed something neatly on the reverse side. Then he affixed the new advertisement to the bulletin board and stood back to admire his handiwork. The sign he had created read, "Flight crews wanted, no training necessary, fair pay, great experience, discretion a must. Inquire at Onaka Transport Solutions in the spaceport."
"Good, good," said the old pirate with a smile. "I wonder who will apply for the job first."
Then he turned and spoke to the room at large.
"Today was a good day for profit. Let's see what tonight brings. I'm feeling lucky. Anyone for a game of sabacc?"
This is Jim Cummings. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars Pirate's Price by Lou Anders. This program was produced and directed by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Nick Martorelli. Star Wars Pirate's Price is a production of Lucasfilm Limited and registered or trademarked where indicated. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved, used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production Copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Penguin Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.